Thank you everyone for coming. Good evening. Kavod Ameis that we're here tonight. The Rav was certainly never one to seek Kavod, but he very much deserves it. Before we get started, I just want to thank David Stein for all of his efforts putting together the learning and putting together the evening. Thank you very much. And we're going to start the evening with Rav Hillel Horowitz. He's going to make a siyum on Seder Moed as it was a joint limud, and he's going to represent us.
We're finishing with Seder Moed, so I just figured I would say something, a little something about the Rav. Any holiday that was important
to the mic.
Sure.
The mic
you're okay now?
Yeah.
Okay. Any holiday that was important to him was especially Purim. Okay, I remember a drasha here on Shabbos where he talked about his father Zal and said that he gravitated more to Tisha B'Av, but Ramlinowitz Zal gravitated to Purim. He was heavily into Simcha. Now, I would call him a Purim Rav as far as the issue of Simcha, but something else too. And I think this is really the main aspect of Ramlinowitz as a Purim Rav. The Rambam says in Megillah, Perek Bet Halach Yud Zayin, Mutav La'adam La'harbos B'matonis La'avyonim La'harbos B'su'udoso. It's better to give more matonis La'avyonim than your su'udah. The translation I got off the internet actually says, it's preferable for a person to be more liberal with his donations to the poor than to be lavish in the preparation of his Purim su'udah. Now, one thing I also remember Ramlinowitz quoting is, always saying liberals are the worst. Quoting Rav Avigdor Miller, Zitzal. I would say that in this, though, Rav Milinowitz was liberal. He was liberal on giving money, as we'll discuss in a second. And it's better than Mishloach Manos L'Reyav. It's better to give money to the poor than to do Mishloach Manos. She'en shom simcha gedol m'fu'ara. There's no greater simcha. I remember 5 years, the astounding story after story after story after story, it keeps on going, about how Rav Milinowitz was making this, yes, liberally, with the money and the amounts of money he personally gave out, and more than that. He didn't just give money, he empathized with them. He would act on that empathy. You're like the Shechina. To revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive those with broken hearts. So it rings in my ear, actually, of the story of one of his chaverim about Rav Milinowitz trying to figure out if they really should, he and the Rebbetzin should ask for a raise for one of their jobs. You know, maybe we don't really need the money. And he said, I remember this, who talks this way? Who talks this way? You know, I know as a dayan, you're supposed to be sone botza. What Rashi says is just to, you know, you're not supposed to go, your money should never have to come to Beis Din. But Rav Milinowitz was way past that, way more than that. Sone betza on a different level. Anyway, he also believed highly in De Machzoro She'yachzerlo. You shall lend them sufficient funds for what that person is lacking. So I just want to talk about the different ways that the Rav, obviously very quick, I'm not the main speaker at all, but he gave of his time. We all have stories where he gave of his time. I remember with me, the first child I was marrying off, my mechutanim said, maybe we should have tanoim. I went to ask the Rav, and he says, I'll be there. He came early, he took care of it. He wasn't willing to listen any other way to that. He gave of his heart. He empathized and acted on, like I said. He gave of his mind. Advice, I came to him, sat with him. He was patient. He didn't notice that he was feeling pressured in any way. and we talked about whatever advice I needed. Torah, I do know personally, he was constantly thinking about how he could get each and every member to learn more and more. He gave of his courage. He showed us real MS, not politically correct. We have to fear HaKadosh Baruch Hu only. He gave of his foresight. I will say that he got us as a shul into Chovas HaLevavos on many different levels. And I think Chovas HaLevavos at this time is critical with the challenges we all face. And he gave us his neshama for his kehila. He had great plans and hopes for all of us. Personally, I feel that after 5 years, the loss is even more acute. There's many times that I feel like if only I could make a phone call or an email to Reb Malinowitz and Shamayim. So you have to think, what would he say in such a situation? The last Mishnah in Chagiga, just doing part of it, what happened was everybody had access to the Kalim basically during the holidays. And therefore, they might have become tameh. So kol akelim shoyim b'mikdash tunim tvila. They needed tvila. Chutz, except for the mizbeach hazog, mizbeach hanechoshes. The inner mizbeach, the golden mizbeach, and the outer mizbeach, the copper mizbeach. Mipnei shehen kakarka, based on a posuk, a limud from the tupsukim, basically. They're like karka. Karka can't get tameh. These two mizbechos couldn't get tameh. They didn't have to be dealt with in a mikvah. Divrei Rabbi Eliezer, b'chochamim omrim, Mipnei shehein mitzupin, because they're covered. Now this is a very, the Gemara discusses, machlok is how to understand chachamim. Either they say because it's covered, therefore they can become mekabel tumah, they're covered with gold or nechoshes, and therefore they can become tameh, or just the opposite, they can't become tameh because that's not the main part of the mizbeach, and you're only touching something tofel, and therefore they don't become tummy. Okay. Hadron loch seder moed, vadracha landa tana loch seder moed, tataka long with nishemi loch seder moed, vilti shemi long with balma debla balma doase. Hadron loch seder moed, vadracha landa tana loch seder moed, tataka long with nishemi loch seder moed, vilti shemi long with balma debla balma doase. Hadron loch seder moed, vadracha landa tana loch seder moed, tataka long with nishemi loch seder moed, vilti shemi long. Amen, 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 selavoyed. Modim v'nachtu v'fenachem v'nayelhenu shus v'lehe v'senu shus samto chalkenim yoshvei b'esemedrish v'lo mi yoshvei kronos. You can almost hear nachas from Reb Malinowitz hearing us being yoshvei b'esemedrish. Shanu mashkim v'hem mashkim. Anu mashkim l'divrei Torah v'hem mashkimim l'dvorim b'teilim. Anu amelim v'hem amelim. Anu amelim makamim sachar v'hem amelim v'enim makamim sachar. Anu ratzim v'hem ratzim. Anu ratzim chayel m'ba. Vim Ratzim Liver Shachas, Shnemar Batol, Yim Toridim Liver Shachas, Anshi Dom Mirmal Yechatsu Yemei Badi Yechachboch. Yiratzim of Nechad Noel Hai, Kishim Shazertan, Lusayim, Seder Moe, Kachta, Zrenu, Lasco Storim, Sorim, Achem, Lusayim, Lumer, Lami, Lishma, Lasso, Lukam, Skol, Libre, Samotor, Zabba, Skusko, Tanoim, Savidicha, Homin, Skrom, Seder Moe, Tamo, Lonu, Lazarenu, Shotamu, Shatormi, Pino, Pizarenu, Vizer, Zarenu, Adolam, Yukumbi,
Amen.
Bar, Vishroman, Vishnase, Vishador, Vishalev, Vishalosh, Gucha, Brihu. I love and call Brihosav, Vishrosav, Vishrosav, Nechmosav, Namiron, Bomavi, Buame. I serve Rabbanam, Tamide Home, Valko, Tamide, Samide Home, Valko, Mondoskin, Boris, the Master Kadisha Dane, Vidibuhosar Vassar. Yehonul Honsham Rabbi Chida, the Chist of Rachamin, the Kind of Rechim Zorbiche, Yofrakonomi, Kadam Gond, Vishmaiava, Ravi, Bruam, Shalom, Rabbi Mishmai, the Kaim, Olenu, Bako, Israel, Bruam, O say Shalom, Bibramav, who Brahma Gesh Shalom, Olenu, Bako, Israel, Bruam.
When Rav David became our Rav, I think there was a natural tendency to sort of compare, right? It's not something we should do, but it just becomes natural that you compare your former Rav and your new Rav. And there might be a mistake in comparing things that are different. And I think since then, several things have become very clear to me that are very much similar and the same. I just want to point out three of them. One is, of course, they're both massive Talmidei Chachamim, and any yeshiva would be lucky to have either one of them as a Rosh Yeshiva, and for us as a Kehila, to have them as our Rav is a tremendous plus. Another thing is the amount of themselves that they've given to us, their thoughts, their efforts, their time, their Torah, is really above and beyond. And the third thing, is just maybe not connected to those, but stands out very much from both of them, is their tremendous love for Eretz Yisrael. And I think it speaks very well of us that we chose these two people to be our Rabbanim, and it speaks highly of them that they're willing to be our Rabbanim. So now we're zocha to hear a few words from Rav David Shmita.
A number of items that I've mentioned in the past, I was not zeicher to know the Rav Zatzal. I met him approximately, I was trying to think, the last year, I met him six times. I was counting all the times that I met him. Four of the times, I asked him kashis on something in the art scroll, which I don't have, but my shvager, Zechem Lebracha, who knew him quite well. And then the other two times, he tried to invite me to be a scholar resident in the shul, and he succeeded. And then, after I spoke in the shul, it was Pashas Nitzavim, about 7 years ago, to be precise, he paid me more than I've ever been paid as a rabbi in my entire life, including what the shul paid me as well. And I assume it was out of his own pocket, and the Shum Sofik. I heard from my shwagas, Rebbe Bracha, from Michal Wiener, Zatzal. He knew Rav Chaim Zev quite well. He told me the following vignette, and then I later on checked it out. He was the general editor of Art School for several decades, which is a rather gargantuan responsibility, shouldered by this Gabra Rabba, with broad shoulders for a substantive block of time. At a certain juncture in his life several decades ago, and this is astounding to me, he decided to make Aliyah. Question, of course, is why? And what motivated him? What impelled him? It was already mentioned by Eitan a moment ago, the main reason, Ahava for Eretz Yisrael. Anyone who's out Quran with the American scene knows full well that a prominent Rav, great Talmud Chacham, outstanding Dayan, ensconced in the position that he was as general editor of Art Scroll, would almost be committing Harry Carey, a kind of ritual suicide practiced by, I think, the
Japanese samura, if you wanted to make aliyah. But I heard from my shvagam, a guy named Tzadik, Michal Wiener Zatzal, who was a friend and colleague of Rabbi Linowitz Zatzal, that indeed the Art Scroll family thought that he had gone off the deep end. B'lashon HaMata. The Art Scroll administration, again, I don't know the details, perhaps you probably do, they attempted to dissuade him, to discourage him, to remain in the U.S., but he and his distinctive, stalwart, and decisive fashion resolutely moved forward in his classical, emboldened way. And I understood that when he made a decision that was accompanied, obviously, by due forethought, but whatever was necessary, he then proceeded to go full steam ahead. That was his methodology, that was his hanhaga, that was his very essence. So at a certain point, my shvager told me that Art Scroll indicated to him they would have to sever their ties with him. Art Scroll is a US-based enterprise, and someone of his stature and caliber can only operate from within the United States geographic environs. That didn't deter the Rav, not even one iota, even though his parnasa was on the line. Ever since I heard that, I don't cease to be amazed by his forbearance, tenacity, and solidarity on this issue. If there are a substantive interlude, Art Scroll, in their scintillating wisdom, realized that they had relinquished and ceded the services and talents of an extraordinary Talmud Chacham, of which Chazal say, Gemara Tamura, Talmud Chacham Shemes, Emo Tamura. And upon realizing this, they decided to reinstate him, even though he was now living in Eretz Yisrael. His bitachon was sweet, generous. He lived, breathed, and infused others with the yisod of Abchaim Balozhina, Einoid Mavado. Ribono Shalom is the only factor in my life, besides his unparalleled love of Eretz Yisrael. To my mind, there was one other overriding love mentioned here earlier by Eitan, and passion, and that was Mo Ahavti Torasecha Kol Hayom Yisichasi. An affection, devotion, infatuation for Talmud Torah that was clearly the elixir of his life that consumed and engulfed him 24/7. What is the nature of this hybrid of Eretz Yisrael and Torah? Of course, Uzahava Horat Ha'itoy, Ein Torah Ketaras Eretz Yisrael, whatever that means, about 10 different interpretations. Are they disparate entities, or they're somehow inexorably intertwined in a romantic partnership that's sort of unparalleled? My Rebbe Rav Soloveitchik Zatzal often noted that in Parshas Yisro, which is the first articulation of Aseres HaDibros, the Loshen HaPasuk is Ki Li Kol Haaretz. The Torah is ubiquitous, universal, not limited to any specific geographic locus. One can even learn Torah in the United States. It's possible. I always commented when the Gemara says in Bar Basra, Avir Derzel Machim, why is it that so many American Talmidim, not hundreds, thousands, young men come to Eretz Yisrael and somehow their lives are changed dramatically to an extent that cannot possibly happen in Chutz Laaretz? It's amazing to me. It's partial. The Kedusha of Eretz Yisrael, that's Pshat in the Gemara Bar Basra, Avir Derzel Machim. But that's the Pasha in Yisrael, Ki Li Kol Haaretz. The Torah is universal. However, in Parshas Veschanan, and in general, all of Sefer Dvarim, it's patently clear that Eretz Yisrael is the epicenter of all Tanakh, and ultimately the authentic home of every Jew. The passion of the Ramban for Eretz Yisrael and the Mesiras Nefesh he demonstrated in order to get here are the steps that Rabbi Linowitz Zatzal trailblazed in the wake of Maisa Ovesim Labanu. The Gemara has in the Dorim Daf Chav Beis the following statement. The Gemara comments on the pasuk in Dvarim in the Teichacha. Uvagoyim ha'im lo sargia v'lo yemanuach lechach raglecha v'natzan Hashem l'chol shom leiv ragoz v'chayon enayim v'davo nofesh. Oh, I have to translate it here. Among those nations you will not be tranquil, I like that word. There'll be no rest for the sole of your foot. Leib Ragoz. There Hashem will give you a trembling heart. The chilyon enayim, longing of the eyes. The davar nefesh, suffering of the soul. The Mashal commenting on the Gemara notes, Ki ha-yetzer hara, sholei pechutz la-aretz, yeseh mebe'aretz Yisrael. The yetzer hara is far more operative outside of Eretz Yisrael than in Eretz Yisrael. Va'kas, hu mimidos ha-yetzer hara. Kas is one of the midos utilized by the yetzer hara. Upon the heels of this pasuk of the next incredibly striking Gemara, literally juxtaposed. Omer Avada Rav Chanina, Il Molu Lechotu Yisrael, Lo Nitan Lahem El Chamishuchum Sheteira, Besefe Yoshua Bilvah. Why? She'erka Shel Eretz Yisrael. Had we not sinned, then we only would have received Chamishuchum Sheteira and Sefe Yoshua, which accentuates, places Eretz Yisrael in the epicenter of things. The Ran in the Dorum explains, the thrust of all the Nevi'im is to chastise and reprove Knesset Yisrael for our wayward behavior. Had we not sinned, we wouldn't require any Tachacha. We would suffice the Chamishuchum Sheteira and Sefer Yoshua that delineates the contours of Eretz Yisrael for each Shevet. In the Tshuva Shavus Yankiv, he asked the following remarkable question on the Gemara. The Mishnah at the end of Maseches Makos states, well-known Mishnah, Rotzah Kodesh Baruch Hu L'Zakos Es Yisrael. Lefiko Chirbo Hem Toru Mitzvah Shedemar, Hashem Chofitz Haman Tzidko, Yagdol Tzor V'Yadir. The Magad Avraham Mishnah Chodor Chorachayim Simen Tzadik Vov cites a long-standing minhag to say this Mishnah after learning in general, after Pirkei Avos. The Mishnah states unequivocally that any incremental Torah learning, all of Tanakh and Mitzvahs, is designed to confer upon us more merits, and our Gemara in the Dorim, Lechura, presupposes otherwise, that it's a burden, a kind of punishment, seemingly an outright contradiction. The Shavus Yaakov offers several, the Magen Avraham, several answers to this question. One, Lekha Midi B'Nevi'im D'Lor Amizah B'Araisa. The entire corpus of the Nevi'im is alluded to in the Torah itself. Had we not sinned, we could have extrapolated all of Tanakh, Nevi'im Miksubim, from the Torah. Hafochba v'hafochba dekulava. It's all there. It's all embedded. The early generations fulfilled the entire Torah, even Kodem Shedita, because they were steeped in righteousness, as the Ramban in Toldo, 6 Kodem Parsha, the Pasuk, Vayishma Mishmarti Mitzvosai Chukosai Disarosoi, Ramban cites the Gemara at the end of Kedushin, also Avraham Avinu's Kalatar Kulo Kodem Shedita, Kloyos Novos, Ruach HaKodesh. That's answer number one. Answer number two, had we not sinned, we would only need Chamishuchum Sheteira and Sefer Yoshua because, says the Magen Avraham, Ikar Schar HaTeira Hu Nesinas HaAretz. The focus, the thrust of the reward of the Torah is Eretz Yisrael, as David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Atznai, Kodem Lemaaseh. Vayitel Lehem Nachas Goyim Va'amal Lumim Yiroshu Ba'avur Yishmur Chukov B'Sareis Av Yintzeru. The gift of Eretz Yisrael is contingent solely on our observance of Torah mitzvahs. The entire Torah in the optimal world revolves around Eretz Yisrael. Had we not sinned, there would be no need for the Nevi'im Maksud. The idea is borne out by Chazal. Had Moshe Rabbeinu not erred, he would have entered Eretz Yisrael with us. Moshe would be here, and we'd all be sitting, Ishtachas Gafta, Ishtachas Tein Osa. Answer number three is incredibly expansive. Rechav Minayah, Arukam Eretz Midon, was given to us, essentially, Eretz Yisrael as a schus to expiate for our chatoim. The Medrash Tanchuma writes, Omer Avuna, ain't nothing below Yisurim, Cheshesh Beshino, and Yachal Isha. A person has a toothache, he can't sleep. Beinov, a mechush beinov, in his eyes, he can't sleep. Yogea Batera, and Oyusha. Ze'er v'ze'er, this one is up, and this one is up. Hoy, Ashri Agever, Asher Tziyasvenu Ko, Mitaroska Tlamdenu, She Yisur Avein B'Liman HaTorah. Halavai, the Yisur should come as a result of learning Torah. When Klal Yisrael sinned, the yoke of Torah was increased, was intensified. more neviim, more ksuvim. Well, the Gemara says, Yesid das, Yosid machov, through the yoke of Torah, the yoke of Golus will be lifted from us till we realize, Umbala Arz Deyas Hashem Kamayim Le'am Chasim. So Sevi Yeshua has totally focused on Eretz Yisrael. Rabbi Litowitz Hatzal saw this juxtaposition of Torah and Eretz Yisrael as being the utopian ideal. He maxed out on both. Unbelievable love of Eretz Yisrael, expressed in many different ways, and even more unbelievable devotion to Torah that encompasses the entire neshama. The term Marasha Kayadua appears twice in Tanakh, in Va'era, V'nasati Yisrael Marasha Ani Hashem, the end of Dvorim, Torah Tzibol Anu Moshe, Marasha Kilas Yaakov. Namely, Eretz Yisrael and Torah, each of them constitute a Marasha. They're not a Yerusha, a Marasha that requires enormous Mesiris Nefesh, indefatigable Amola, endless Bitochon. They're indeed inextricably intertwined. Such was the essence and epicenter of this quintessential Rav, Dayan Zatzal, Rav Chaim Zev Milanowitz. May his memory be a bracha for all of us, for all of Klal Yisrael. May his chusim continue to redound on Netzach in the hearts and minds of all of Klal Yisrael on Netzach. Amen v'yomei.
Over the years, every time I hear Rav Eliyahu Milanowitz speak, each time he sounds a little bit more and more like his father. And I mean it both literally and figuratively, meaning that his voice really resembles his father more and more, and it's unbelievable to me. I see them looking around like they don't agree. Maybe they didn't realize, but I've spoken to other people who do. But more than that, and more importantly, on a deeper level, he sounds more and more like his father with the Divrei Torah that comes out. I think the things that I've heard him say are things I could have imagined his father saying. And so now we're zocheh to hear a few words from Eliyahu.
Eitan wanted to open... Start thinking of the shul for once again having this azkara. It's very meaningful to us, the family, to first of all to realize the continued kesher between the rav and the shul and the community. And it's a very warm feeling for us, the family, to feel the continued payers that are coming out from all of our father's work. And to get to see it is another bracha, besides for the personal kesher that we get to hear, but also to see the Beis Medrash and the shul continued with the kesher. And one thing, I don't know exactly who put in the work for tonight's event, but I spoke to a couple of people, David Stein specifically, and others. I know there was a lot of work put in behind the scenes to make sure that it worked out, and thank you very much, Yishukach. Let it be the inspiration and Torah that from tonight be Ilu Neshama. I wanted to speak about one specific thing about my father, Zechar Livracha, that I feel was, I haven't heard that much being spoken about, and I just wanted to touch upon it because it's, like if Jacobs had mentioned yesterday, there's so many different facets to mention, so we're not trying to really cover everything he was, but just to learn from certain things. So one thing I wanted to focus on is, especially we're here in the shul, and that is the nekuda of the tefillah. A lot was spoken about his Torah and his chesed. We know that Torah v'avoyed gnos chasadim is ha'el ha'moymed. And the main two things I would say that he put his kaiches and time into was the Torah and the chesed. And it's really what it comes across in the running of a kehila. But the nekuda of tefillah, especially since we brought in tonight Reb Nissel to speak, Reb Nissel was brought in by my father, Zechar Livracha, a couple of times to discuss inyanei tefillah. The parashiyos of this tkufa is the Avos HaKadoshim, and we think, I think most people connect more automatically with the Avos. They think about their midas that represent, midas HaChesed, midas HaGvura, midas HaEmes. But in truth, that's more on a higher level. But in Pshat, the Gemara in Bracha says that tefillah is Avos Tiknum, that the concept of davening comes from the Avos. The Rav, Zecher Levracha, used to have, he instituted once a year to have a Shabbos tefillah. Besides, you know, I used to think that people in the shul don't realize that just like there's something called Shabbos Shuva, so people think in the shul there's two things a year: the Shabbos Shuva, which you do tshuva on, and the Shabbos tefillah. You know that you focus on tefillah because he instituted the importance of davening and focusing on what davening is. The Avos Tfilas Avos Tiknum is a very deep idea. We know that the Karbanos, the Gemara in Brachos talks about, is it the Avos, is it the Karbanos? The Gemara says it's not really a stira, because we daven as the Karbanos, because what we're doing with by davening is connecting deeply to Hashem. The Rav would go to Maris Machpelo. He felt that is the place where it's brought down in Chazal, that is a makam tefillah, and the tefillah's Avos Tiknum. Every Shabbos in Chevron, when he went for Shabbos, so he would talk about there's a question that he would ask every year. I don't remember the answers he gave every year. I didn't go that many times. But there was a question he asked every year, and I think he tried to give a different answer every year. To the question of, we know that the Iker of tefillah is the tachanun, to ask Hashem for what we want. So why is there a din that by bracha of avos is kavanah ma'akev, as opposed to everything else in tefillah where it's not ma'akev the kavanah? But the chayra, I think he said this answer one year. The idea of tefillah, and really what we're doing with tefillah, the avodah shebalev, is we're lifting ourselves up and we're deeply connecting to Hashem. He used to talk also about the question of, he spoke so much about bitachon, so where does bitachon match up with tefillah? If you really so have bitachon, where does tefillah fit in? But we see beferish in last week's parasha that it goes together, because Eliezer, together with Avraham Avinu, clearly he as much bitachon that Avraham Avinu had in the shlichus to carry out what he was meant to do, Eliezer started off with the tefillah. In this week's parasha also, we find that Yitzchak, in the beginning of the parasha, Yitzchak didn't have kids for 20 years, and he davened to Hashem. Now the Gemara in Yevamos is a very interesting statement. The Gemara says, "The pnam peimah hayu avayseinu akurim, the pnei shekadosh baruch hu misavel l'tefilasin shel tzadikim." The question is, what exactly does that mean? Al ponov kipshuta, it sounds like a very mean thing. Ki'ilu, the reason why Hashem made it difficult is that they should beg and beg and beg and beg, because He likes to hear them daven. Which is a very, what does that mean? It means He wants them to daven, so that's why He doesn't listen to them, so that they should daven. He makes it difficult. But L'chayr Rashi in this week's parasha actually brings down that Yitzchak davened now because he had a cheshbon, why 10 years he didn't expect children, and another 10 years. And there was a reason why he davened now. So what does that mean? He didn't daven until now. We know Yitzchak was Mesakin Tfilas HaMincha, and this was before he got married. So what does that mean? He davened now. He didn't daven for children, he didn't daven for a family before that. L'chayra, what it means, one could suggest, is that tefillah on a deep connection, when the person is connecting on a deep level to Hashem, is when you realize, Ein lo namili yishoyin, elo avinu shebashamayim. When a person reaches the level that he feels stuck, he feels that he's not just davening because it's something that you do, you ask, but it's connecting on a very deep level, that you feel the real connection, the Avos HaKadoshim, where who we are, we're coming from the Avos. That's what tefillah is. The tefillah of Avos Tiknum is that the Avos, who in what they create in this world, is the chibur of HaKadosh Baruch Hu to us. and the whole Elikei HaShemayim, Elikei HaAretz, that they brought out Hashem's existence in this world, that's the Iker Yisrael of Tefillah. Once we connect to Hashem, we understand that what we're doing by davening, so then the Pratim is we ask for Hashem for specific things. But the main nekuda to internalize by davening is that we're really connecting to Hashem on a deep level, that this is our everything. Everything we have comes from Hashem, and everything we do, we ask from Hashem so that we can internalize and receive the Shefa from Hashem. Hashem wants us to daven for it, Hashem wants us to talk to Him, and that is the connection that we have. The Rav of the Rav, there were certain nekudas in tefillah that were stood out very much for him. You know, we are getting into that many details, but he was very, very makbid, of course, on coming on time to davening, to making sure to daven every word. If he felt that he wanted to say more Baruch Hu Yesh Merabah, he would go around to other shuls to be mashlim, to add. But another specific nekuda is that tefillah was very real to him. Whenever there were people had tzaras or hardships, he would talk about davening. Davening, you know, when he instituted Al-Tira, originally, it wasn't meant to just finish off in the Siddur. It was clearly a way of davening for what were, for Pino Yev Gishkativ at the time. And you know, now we're actually living the results of that in a way. But now is the time of it. We're in this Tkufa now. Is it time to focus on the tefillah? And he took it in a very real way. He meant it very real. That is what will bring you Yeshua when a person has a tzar. I remember once he was talking about how v'hurachem, no one really knows what it says, and everyone's hoping for a bris downstairs on a Monday and Thursday. And he was talking about when someone has a tzara or someone's sick in the family or something like that, and then you start thinking about the words of v'hurachem, so then you feel like you want to say it. Because like, I'm waiting for the opportunity to say it, to connect to Hashem. And this was something that he really lived with. The opportunity to connect to Hashem, to talking to Hashem, and he didn't daven long. He was makbid, he didn't daven long because he had real kavana, and he said, you have kavana, you have in mind what you have in mind, and that's what Hashem wants. There was even a whole discussion we once had with him. It was a big machlekes. I know it's a machlekes in amongst bigger Sfarim and others. Is there an Indian to say Tehillim without kavana? But he had a very strong tzad. What are you rattling off words without understanding what you're saying? Of course you have to understand what you're saying. The tefillah has to come with kavana. Avodah Shebaleiv is not just to say words, but to understand what you're saying. And you say, it's better to say your own words. So I'm not getting into Lamaisa, if one should say Tehillim because they don't understand what they're saying. But the idea was very real to him that tefillah is you're talking to Hashem. And if you don't understand what you're talking, it's what you're saying. It's lacking. So we should one nekuda we can learn from is the in taking the importance of tefillah and realizing how that really is what connects us to Hashem. And think about what we're saying, and Hashem brings the shefa to us with the Yeshuas through talking to Him through tefillah. So I just wanted to end off that mitzvah Shem, we should be zeiche, be karv, to the binah beis hamikdash, to the beis hameisim, and we should share many simchas together. Yishar koyach.
So, I don't know if he remembers, maybe not, but 30 years ago, I was in Or Yerushalayim, and my afternoon seder, during my afternoon seder, there was a young English Rav who gave a Derech Hashem shiur, and that was Rav Nissel, and I thought then he was fantastic, and since then I think the world has found out about him, and he's become a tremendous koach and voice all around, and we have the unbelievable source of having him speak tonight, Rav Nissel.
I certainly do not remember what you were saying. But basically, what I got from the introduction is that I'm old. And thank you very much, Eitan. It's good old days. I also wanted to acknowledge that I spent five beautiful years, precious years, at the chus to have Yedidus with the Mura D'Asra. And I just wanted to tell you publicly how much I miss you. And Be'ez Hashem Yisbarach, Hashem should help you go, Michael El Chayel, all the amazing things that you're doing. I was brought here tonight. I think my kartis knisa was that the Rav Zatzal instituted what was mentioned just now, the concept of a Shabbos tefillah. Honestly, I've traveled around the world. I've never heard or seen anything like it. I think it's a phenomenal concept. The idea that we are kehila together. We're not just individuals that happen to be davening in the same shul, but we are struggling together to be able to become a kehila, a tzibur, that's going to serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, Kamosha Tzarech, the way it's supposed to be. And he gave me this tremendous covet a few times to be able to stand where I'm standing now to talk about Inyani Tefillah. And I thought it would be correct if tonight I'm going to speak about Inyani Tefillah. And at the end, I want to share a few of my personal recollections of the Rav Zatzal. When I teach Tefillah to the new generation, I always ask myself the question, how can I make things simple? How can I take the complex and break it down to simple ideas? One of the mahalchim that I've been doing in recent years is I take the Shmona Esrei, 19 brachos, and I break it down simply into 3, 13, and 3. The opening 3 is called Shevach, the last 3 is called Hidah, and in the middle are 13 bakashas. And those 13 bakashas is the etzem, the foundation block of what tefillah is all about. The Rishonim bring down that those 13 bakashas can be broken down into 6, 6, and 1. You have the Rashba, Rabbeinu Bachya, basically what I call the Beis Medrash of the Ramban. They see the opening 6 brachos as the brachos that talk about our own personal needs. And the second 6 is talking about the needs of Klal Yisrael. And I always like to say over again and again and again, the first 6 are the easy ones, because everyone instantly connects to the tzaras that we're going through as a prat. And the second 6, we build ourselves up to be able to think about the tzaras of Klal Yisrael and to ask from the Oymik Libeinu for those things as well. So you have 6, 6, and 1. The 13th at the end is called Shema Kolenu, which I call basically the ring that binds the 2 parts. I'm not going to go into it, but you'll notice that Shema Kolenu is broken down into 2 halves. They correspond to the 2 different sections. And then the first 6 and the second 6 are also broken down into 3 and 3. I promise you this is not getting more complicated. It's not going to be too complicated. Everyone's giving that. I feel I'm back in the classroom phase. I apologize. But just stay with me. 3 and 3, and then another 3 and 3. The first 3 is what I call introductory, and the second 3 is the actual bakashas themselves. So let's go through this together. The opening 6 bakashas that we have are personal. What are the personal needs? So, as I always like to say, every person in this room, I'll leave the Rosh Hashiva out of it, okay, without you, but everyone else in this room is suffering from stress. Kachaze, okay? We all have what's called stress. And our stress, if you ask yourself brutally what stresses you out, it breaks down to 1 of 3 things. One is called social stress. The other is called health stress. Today you always have to add health stress and mental health stress. And money stress. Between those 3 stresses, it pretty much keeps all of us close to Kadosh Baruch Hu. Kadosh Baruch Hu makes sure that your life is always, always stressed. That way it keeps you close. Kachazeh. There's nothing to do about it. Corresponding to that, we have Re'enu V'Anyenu. We have Rafa'enu and Baruch Aleinu. Those are the 3 major personal needs that I have. They're introduced with 3 brachos. Atachayne, Hashiveinu, and Slachno. Atachayne is before I can recognize that I am stressed, and before I can recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the address. So first I have to think. I say, I want to think the way a Ben Torah thinks, to think properly, to think with proper hashkafa. The moment I do that, I notice, number one, that I'm stressed, and number two, I also notice that Kadosh Baruch Hu is the address. Not only that, as a third thing I notice is Hashiveinu, that I need to get back on focus, on the proper path to be able to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So immediately after Atachayinu, we see Hashiveinu. Once you notice you're back in the path, Slachna, you realize that you've messed up in the last 24 hours, or since your last tefillah, and you ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu for forgiveness. So everything's very neat. The opening three sets the tone for the three needs that we have. Now let's take exactly the same concept and now let's apply it to the second six brachos of the Shon Esrei. And let's see how this works out for us. Can someone get me some water? It's possible to get some water. Atochein, the first three, very, very simple, is the preamble for the needs to bring Klal Yisrael the Geula. So Klal Yisrael is desperate for the Geula. What do we need to get the Geula happening? We have three needs. The first thing that we need is to kabe shofar gadol l'cheresenu. The son needs to kabe its guliyasenu. The kabsenu yachad me'arba kamfus aretz. I don't even have to ask that the Rav has been talking about this for the last year, but the need for Jewish unity, the need that doesn't matter what type of person you are, as long as you recognize that Kadosh Baruch Hu is central to bringing the Geula, the way that you serve a Kadosh Baruch Hu, each one has their own tribe, and together we go and we try and get close to Kadosh Baruch Hu, together as the different stripes and the different types of what's called Klal Yisrael. So that's the first need that we have. Thank you so much. The second is the second need that I have is that we need to have Jewish leadership. So immediately we ask Hashiva Shevteni Kavarishayna that the leadership should be in place. And the third preamble need that we have is that after we have leadership, what's called the fifth column in Klal Yisrael, the Malshinim, Kadosh Baruch Hu should, as the Maral says, subdue them in their shitos. Lav dafka, they have to be physically destroyed, but what they stand for should be subdued. So those three are the preambles, the ones that bring the record to what's going to bring the Melech HaMashiach. Finally, we have the three that talk about the Geula process itself. And I'm going to do it backwards. You'll see why in a moment. The third and climactic need that we have is Tzemach David Avdecha. We need Mashiach. Like, duh, obviously, that's it. That's the Geula. We need the Melech HaMashiach. But before the Melech HaMashiach, he needs a place. He cannot come in a vacuum. And that's the ending of the bracha for Yerushalayim. And now I want to share with you what I want to talk about over the next 10, 15 minutes. And that is the bracha that comes before Yerushalayim. It is a bracha that bothered me for years and years and years. I know different shetlach, different pshatim in it, but something that really, really spoke to me, I only managed with Zohar to do 7, 8 years ago when my Rebbe passed away. I came to the conclusion that this is how to read the bracha. What is the bracha before Yerushalayim? Ala Tzadikim. That bracha, Ala Tzadikim, for years and years and years was an enigma to me. What is it doing over here? I have a bunch of questions. I'm just going to mention a few of them. First of all, whatever we're going to say about Ala Tzadikim, it has to be that this is part of the Geula process. Ala Tzadikim, Yerushalayim, and Etzemach Tavtecha are the three steps of the Geula. So what exactly is Ala Tzadikim all about? Secondly, why do they deserve to get a shout out? Honestly, once again, I'm leaving the Rav out of this. But I think in front of me, and including myself, we're all good old-fashioned Beinonim. It's good enough for the Sefer HaTanya. It's good enough for us. We can all be Beinonim. Good enough for Rav, okay? We can be Beinonim. We don't have to be Tzadikim. And I think it would be very, very nice to get a shout out in the Middle of Shemona Esrei. Why did Tzadikim get a shout out? Honestly, speaking as a person that spends a lot of my time working in Kirov, and today my Rebbe says everything we do is Kirov, okay, there's nothing we can talk about. Everything is Kirov today. Honestly, that what they call the Rishayim, those lonely souls that we try and help, why don't they get a shout out? Why don't they get a bracha? What is it about the Tzadikim that they get a bracha right over here that we scream out for the Tzadikim? Thirdly, in the bracha, we tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, V'sein tzacha tzoy v'chol ha'boitchum shimcha be'emes. Give them their schar. We tell HaKadosh Baruch Hu, look at the tzaddikim and give them their schar. Last time I checked, one of the Yud Gimel Ikaros is schar v'einish. basically, if I could translate the bracha in 10 seconds, Kosh Baruch Hu, do your job. Like, what is going on over here? Why are we telling HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give schar dafka to the tzaddikim? Anyhow, he's going to give schar to everyone who deserves it. Tzaddikim get their schar, Beninim get their schar, Shoim get their schar. What does it mean that we're asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu to give them their schar? And the final one, and you're going to see the end, for me and for you, it's going to be the most important. Once again, I'll leave the rub out of it, is the words for Aleinu. What a, no offense, a ridiculous word. You have a list, a pantheon of all the great holy people in Kal Yisrael, tzaddikim, chassidim, zikni amcha b'Yisrael, pleita sefren, geret tzedek, don't forget us, Hashem. Now, ask yourself a question. Are you in that list? So you're in that list. If you're not in the list, why should you be in that list? Even if we can figure out a reason why tzaddik can get a shout out over here, mehechetesi, that you should say, Valenia, I get into the, you like this question, you're back in OJ, right? So I want to give you my mahalach. Afterwards, I was zeichet to find, it's Merum is ready in Shibuli Leket and Rishayim. It's a little bit, those of you that like Ishbitz, I'll show you there as well. But I believe it's so MS and it so fits in, and you're going to see in a moment, it's so matim for why we're here this evening. And that is the following big idea. We're asking for Mashiach ben David. You and I know, it's Gemara Sukkah and other places, before Mashiach ben David, there's another Mashiach that's supposed to come. And by pure chance, it also happens to be that we know that he is called the Tzaddik. He's not described as a tzaddik. Noach is tzaddik, right? He's described as an adjective of tzaddik. But you have Moshe Rabbeinu, you have David HaMelech, Aaron HaKayin, Avram Avinu. Somebody is called HaTzaddik. Who is that person? It's Yosef. So Yosef is the tzaddik. Next time you look at your siddur, you'll see the name of this bracha is called Tzaddikim, right? It's the bracha for Tzaddikim. Tzaddikim get a bracha, and the tzaddik, at least in Chumash, what we know, the Yomim is also called a tzaddik, but for basically the same reason, the tzaddik is Yosef. And Yosef is also, there's a concept called Mashiach ben Yosef. And Mashiach ben Yosef is supposed to come before Mashiach ben David. Suddenly I have a maramakum. Suddenly I have a way of possibly looking at this bracha, that this bracha is a request for Mashiach ben Yosef. He has to come, then comes Yerushalayim, and then comes Mashiach ben David. But now comes the key to the big idea. Moiv Rebbe, Reb Moshe Shapira, Tzadeh Zichrono Livracha, my wife begged me to be unabashedly tell you that after the sefer, I have the sefer that I came out, his biography, and for the ladies upstairs, Rikshi Leif, the men can buy it for their wives. There, I did it. My wife is now happy. I just wanted to say the following thing. My Rebbe said this more than once. He said, I'm just more or less saying in his words, it's healthy to think of Mashiach ben Yosef not as a person, but rather as a concept. He said it's healthy. In other words, you solve a lot of problems. Those of you who are history buffs will know that a lot of interesting characters have received the title of Mashiach ben Yosef, okay, whatever it is. I just say something I can say in a basic medrash. Napoleon, for example, was described by the rabbis, big rabbis, as Mashiach ben Yosef. Mashiach ben Yosef is a person, tutzach, it's complicated. It's better to think of Yosef as a type, as a personality type, that is there to bring in the personality type of called Mashiach ben David. What's the Maramokim? Very, very simple. Parshas Vayeshev, Miketz, Vayigash, Vayechi. We're a little bit too early in the parshas, but let's just go and remind ourselves of what's about to happen, unfold in Sefer Bereishis. You have a man called Yehuda. Yehuda is already, by the time we get to Vayigash, is already has a din of Malchus. He comes down to Goshen. What is Goshen? Goshen is the Yerusha that Par gave to Sarimenu. He comes down, this is our place, this is a Yiddish Platz. First thing he does what Yidden had done throughout history to survive, he builds walls. That's it. The story of Galus, wherever Klal Yisrael built walls, they survived. He built the yeshiva. I'm sure afterwards he built a mikveh, and then he built a shul, and he built a seminary, and all the things that was necessary to be able to make Jewish survival, that we are disconnected from the goyim around him. Yehuda builds walls, k'moshe tzarech. But before Yehuda can come down, there needs to be a personality type called Yosef. Yosef, who comes not from Leah but from Rachel, Yosef comes down to Mitzrayim alone, a 17-year-old boy, who is the only person in Chumash who is male, who is described that his beauty was Yifas Tayah, Yifas Mara, extraordinary, beautiful. The Midrashim, borderline outrageous in Parashas Miketz, unrepeatable about how his beauty, everyone around him was like in awe of his beauty. You put a 17-year-old young boy, you bring him down into a place that is called Erev HaSa'aretz. Yirmiyahu HaNavi gave it a nice little description, Erev HaSa'aretz, and throughout Sefer Tehillim, again and again, is called Admas B'nei Cham. It is a place of the lowest, of the lowest, of the lowest, of the lowest parts of society. Everything degraded, that's what it's all about. So you take a boy, you disconnect him from his parents, from his yeshiva, from his home. He's a kid. He's incredibly handsome. You put him in a mokoyim, like Mitzrayim, Mayas b'nei b'leyechta. Not only that, Kodesh Baruch Hu found that one woman, that she was the biggest professional in history to take down yeshiva bachrim. That was her omnis, that was her genius. And what happened? At the moment of truth, he was misgaber b'nisayim. For those of you into Kabbalah, at that moment he brought down Midas Yisayim into this world, which allows, Medrash brings down, for 210 years, all of Klal Yisrael. Without exception, with one exception, Shlomis Bas Divri, but without, besides her, which was a mistaken identity, the Jewish men and the Jewish women were extraordinarily beautiful, as we know from Shir HaShirim. The Mitzrim were extraordinarily ugly. They were slaves, for goodness sake. They were slaves. We know from history what masters do to their slaves when they're hefker, when they can do whatever you want with them. And for 210 years, in the lowliest place in history, all these beautiful young men and women, not a single one was taken advantage of by a Mitzri. All b'schus, that one moment when Yosef HaTzadik was misgaber and he was Eiva bin Nisayim. Neir v'ayim. Yosef HaTzadik, v'yar, okay, all the way down to Kriyas Yamsuf, in his chus, everything is his chus, that Klal Yisrael is misgaber with every single form of Yitzhahara. So let me summarize what I just said. You have a concept called the Mashiach ben Yosef personality type, who sees something in front of him that is an impossible mountain to climb. And he climbs it, he crosses it, he passes, he traverses. And once he does that, he unleashes a Kedusha that allows Mashiach ben David, which in those days was Yehuda, to come in and to build Klal Yisrael and protect them in Galus. Let's now translate what we just learned together into the language of the final Geula, that we are, we're mamish there. This is something that I'm saying that is not controversial. Finally, all of Klal Yisrael agree on something. That we're mamish ikus of the Mashiach, we're back in Eretz Yisrael, we're suffering in Galus Yishmael, everything is happening as though it was the way it was written. And I want to share with you, for the last 10, 15 years, my Rebbe Rav Moshe Shapira, Tzadik Zichron Livracha, used to talk about America being chom. I remember I once came back from one of the NCSY Shabbaton, and I come back, and as Rav Moshe always did in the car, I drove him every Friday, he asked me, so what's going on in America? As I said to him, Igashi, Ad kama shatarvut shel America yored miyefes lechom. And he looked at me with his piercing eyes, and he said, Matam ez yored, Menachem ze lo yored, ze kva yarad. It's already in Chom. The world is already Chom. Meaning the culture of America today, which is another way of saying the world culture, the dominant culture, is the culture of Chom. And in that Rekha of Admas B'nei Chom, which is the second Mahadura of Mitzrayim of the time of Yosef, We see Yosef HaTzadik again and again and again, these personality types that are in Mitzrayim and they are doing things that do not make any sense, that simple people cannot do. Let's talk this through for a moment, just for a few minutes. Just deal with the fact that I'm a frustrated mechanech. Yeah. I can ask the Rav to hold my hand now because we're in this together. What can I tell you? When I was growing up in England, I never heard of a Hamish Yid asking a Rav, is it okay to get a tattoo? Now, honestly, okay? Because it wasn't even a question. Tattoos were the lowest of the lowest. Somewhere in, those of you, the British people over here, okay, in Soho, you have these tattoo parlors where the sailors would go and get their tattoos, but sinner, the most embarrassing thing ever. I remember a few years ago, since then it's happened a few times, a Beis Yaakov, a product of the Beis, Rabbi Nissel, do me a favor, don't answer with frumkai, with halacha. What's the big deal about a tattoo? What am I supposed to do? Okay, what am I supposed to tell her? I told her, I said to her, listen, you know, ask her if there's any of the clothing that she wore a year ago that she would be seen dead with today. And she said, no. Okay, so what makes you think in a year's time what you're going to do, to quote from a famous woman who I'm not going to mention because this is a Beit Knesset, a famous woman in America said, why would you want to put a bumper sticker on a Cadillac? Okay, what are you thinking? What are you thinking? You're going to spend the last three quarters of your life saying to yourself every time you look in the mirror, what was I thinking? Did not help. She went and got it anyhow. Another example, clothing. So I'm not a big maven in clothing, whatever it is. I don't understand the whole tarbus of understanding clothing. I just remember that I have to make sure the tie is in the middle. That's basically it. But there's such a musa called dignified clothing, regal clothing, malchustika clothing. Clothing that you and I would consider something that puts us, makes us look that it's not, that we're not on a teal, it's Shabbos Dig Yom Tovdi. Today, that clothing, you have a look at the beautiful people out there, and they look like they have freshly fought with a pack of wolves. And for some reason, this is what they call yaifi. It's ridiculous, it's scary. I once tried to ask a bunch of the NCSY chaver, I said to him, do you actually find this thing attractive? You find this thing attractive? And he looked at me and said, Rabbi Nissel, you're never going to understand. And I said, absolutely right, I'm never going to understand. I can't, I'm sorry. I'm that old generation person that actually can't understand why you'd want to buy jeans and then pay extra to have them ripped. Then you have the music that they listen to. So I'm not so proud of growing up in London in the 70s. Secretly I am. It's honestly, the music there was poetry. It was written by graduates of Oxford and Cambridge. When you learn Rashi and Tosfos into the lyrics, you find that it also refers to very lowly things. Somehow or other, it connects to drunks and other things I won't mention here. But at least it's poetry. It was poetry. It had a certain yaifi. It was written with yaifi. It was written with harmonies. Yes, Beryl, even Simon and Garfunkel. Kachazet, two Yiddish boys that I'm allowed to mention. You go a little deeper, it's all not good. Today, they don't even bother. Today, Dai L'Chakima B'Ramiza, it's basically biology class. It's just that I can't even say more than I already just said. It's all explicit, nothing to talk about. There's no yoifi there anymore. It's just in your face, chom. It's chom, it's pure chom. Another example, and that is the I can't even believe I'm saying this, to hear a boy from the yeshiva system or a girl from the Beis Yaakov system using nivel peh. When I was growing up, I grew up in what they call modern Orthodox London, and it was not unheard of. No one said bad words. It wasn't like, oh, I'm so daring. No one had a yitzhara to say those words. You go to the movie, in England it was called theatre, you go to the cinema, and they would warn you that, you know, you should be known at the 36 minutes into the movie, there's going to be a bad word. So you may want to go like this, if you don't want to hear nivel peh. If you understand, there's a thing called malchus peh. Today, I heard this, I'm trying to figure out what the gematria of 508 is. It's a mainstream movie that everyone who watches mainstream movies has watched. that had 508 times in a movie a certain word that will not mention even Beremes, and 508 times. We started with Padawis, Kamika, Kamachia. What? Of 508. I'm trying to think of something cool. The bottom line is that, what? Shachar, okay? Yeah, Ayelas HaShachar. There, this is all Simon of Mashiach, perfect. So that everything, even that, even the Nivul Peh comes with the Chet. It's not a normal thing. Finally, this I'm going to get finally to my main point, is the Malchus itself, because everything is a reflection of the Malchus. I remember, I don't want to talk politics in the Beis HaMedrash, when a certain person put his hand to the ring to be a president, and everyone said, it's not going to happen. I'll just mention he was from Chicago, and Ramesha said, everyone said, Le'atachem, they're never going to have that such a person. And he said, no, he's going to get in for 8 years. He said, how do you know? Quote, Magia l'America, Malchus Shulchan. And since then, all the Malchus has been Malchus Shulchan. Malchus Shulchan means Malchus without covet. I know I'm British, there's a lot of Americans over here, so it gives me extra pleasure to make fun of you. But honestly, I was secretly hoping to have like a Trump-Biden combination, which would give me 4 years that every time I wanted, I could just have an unhinged meltdown, two-year-old temper tantrum, and then just forget about it afterwards. Never happened, because Baruch Hu never gave you the second half. But the point is that you have to understand, Chom is not just, it's not just the chitzenis of Chom. Chom means that if a person, how shall I say this nicely, he tweets from the toilet. Okay, everything that passes through his brain, immediately he writes down to his millions of followers within seconds. That is not Malchus of Yefes. There's no Yefi anymore. Everything is Chom. Everything is Chamim. Everything is impulsive. It just occurred to me very recently that the Shittas bring down that Edoim has 10 different permutations and commutations. And we have a Masera from Reb Chaim of Volozhin that the 10th one is going to be America. I heard this from Reb Eli Weintraub. And it occurred to me that America is the only Malchus in history, and once again, my Europeanism is coming out, that was set up to be not a Malchus, to be a presidency. But they still manage, you still had, I'm old enough over here, I mean, I know I sound ancient now, to remember Ronald Reagan when he was a little bit, he had a sense of pride that he was representing a thing called Malchus. It's still gone. So now I want to get to my point. We're living in a world, again, I'm quoting my Rebbe, he said that every 3 months is a new dawn. We're dealing with challenges where we're living in a world that is kulei chom, kulei loneliness, and we get sucked in, we don't even realize how the world has changed. The main reason why it's changed has been the internet, that's been the engine of what has brought the world from yefes to chom more than anything else. And we're in it, and we're part of it, and we breathe it in the air, wherever we go, even here in Eretz Yisrael. So what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu say? I need heroes. I need heroes to bring the Melech HaMashiach. I need tzaddikim, chassidim, zikni amcha beis Yisrael, pleitz sefrem, and ger etc. I need those five categories. And those people are going to stick themselves out, and they're going to put their heads into places where everyone is going to say that you're crazy. Why are you doing this? Are you out of your mind? And they're the ones who are going to be the Yosef HaTzadiks of Toshin Pei Hei. That's what we need. We need heroes to bring the Melech HaMashiach, and that is what the Bracha Al HaTzadikim is all about. From that comes from Yerushalayim, and from Yerushalayim will come a Tzemach Tov V'Avtocha Meheretz HaTzmiach. So let me go through this with you briefly. Al HaTzadikim. So here, the classic example of Al HaTzadikim for me are the teenagers that I work with, who are Moisa Nefesh for Yadus in a way that is unfathomable in the obstacles that they have to face. I'll give you one example and then I want to move on to the next category. Years ago, I came from a Shabbaton, Entius Y. I met a young man who wanted to go to yeshiva even before the very beginning. He wanted to go to yeshiva And he had a nisayon, which today is very, very common. In those days, it was much less. A nisayon that, once again, I cannot mention the shul. And he said to me, I have this nisayon, no yeshiva will ever take me. And I said to him, thinking that I'm doing the responsible thing, I said, listen, if I was in your place, I would not want to become from. Honestly, I think you're crazy. I would just get out of here, go to the Midwest, go to Memphis, Tennessee, right? And live happily ever after, and don't even try the from world. Forget about, you know, we're very judgy. I mean, amongst ourselves, we have this problem that we like to judge people. And you're going to be the guy. You're never going to get married. Every time you go to Shabbos, you'll see the parents are whispering to the kids. It's going to be awful. I described to him how difficult his life is going to be if he wants to become a Ben Torah. And then he says to me the following words, I'll be my asset. What am I going to do? It's MS. There's a God in this world. He gave us the Torah. And the Torah says that I'm not allowed to act to my feelings. I have to work on myself. That is MS. There's a din v'cheshbon after 120. There's a kid talking to me, and he recognized that he needs to be miskaber, and he needs to get over this thing, and he's prepared to do whatever it takes. He knows it's wrong, and he has to be, only ben nisayon. That Friday, I'm driving my Rebbe, and as he is, he always asks me for stories. And I told him exactly what I have. I said, Rebbe, did I say right? He said, you messed up. Okay, this is not good, okay? And whenever anyone that knew Rabbi Shapiro, so just look at this picture over here. You don't want to get this person saying to you, you messed up. I said, what should I have said? It's exactly what I would have said to him. He said, there's going to come a time very, very soon when Mashiach's going to come. Mashiach's going to come, we're all going to go and greet him, all the tzaddikim, all the Rosh Hashivas, Gedolim Hadar, the heads of institutions. Mashiach's going to be that kind of person that loves Klal Yisrael. He's going to go into the crowd and he wants to say Shalom Aleichem to everybody. He's going to say he's Av Yisrael, he's believable, believe Tachlis. He's going to love every Yid infinitely more than you and I could love the biggest tzaddik or the most beautiful child. He says, when the Melech HaMashiach meets this young boy and he asks him, Shalom Aleichem, who are you? Who are you? Tell him in my name to answer the following way. I am the one that brought you here. You hear that? I am the one that brought you here. I am, in the language of my class, the Mashiach ben Yosef, that causes the Mashiach ben David can able to come. And there's hundreds and hundreds of young men and young women who are going through the Zisyanis. There are Mamish, the 2024, here I have to say correctly, Tafshin Pehe, version of what Yosef went through in Mitzrayim. Today you don't have to go to Mitzrayim. Today you can carry Mitzrayim in one of these little things. Ala Chassidim. Chassidim, one of the Persian Chassidim, which fits into what I'm saying, are people that start Chesed organizations. I know where I am over here. I know the kind of people in front of me, but I don't want to be Marach over here. But you know who they are around you. People who open up chesed organizations, it's no end of hard work. Normally they went through something, they saw a need, and they decided something needs to be done, and they go out and they do things. I'm missing it. I'm going to skip Zikne Al Chabi Yisrael because I want to get back to it. Plato Seferam, this is where I'd like to think that I come in. Is the Rebbe's. The Rebbe's, trust me, we don't do it for the money, because there's no money. We do it because we love your kids, and that's it. I know that I'm going to go, you know, answering WhatsApps with questions that I get till 2, 3 in the morning, because whatever, that's what the Tzitzis Sefraim do. Ger Atzedek, again, I don't want to be marich, but anyone that met a Ger in our days knows how difficult it is and how crazy it is. Why would you want to join a nation that the whole world thinks that we're a bunch of genocidal animals? What do you see in us? And if you actually see through their lies, we're still crazy. We're the nation of Erev Yom Kippur. We spin chickens over our heads. Well, what do you want from us? Leave us alone. And they join us anyhow. So now I want to talk about Zikni Amcha Beis Yisrael. Zikni Amcha Beis Yisrael is not talking about Gedolim, because they, as we mentioned, had their own bracha, Hashiva Shevteini Kavarishena, the return of Jewish leadership. Zikni Amcha Beis Yisrael is referring to people who are builders with Mesiris Nefesh, that do things that go across boundaries, that are not afraid to do what needs to be done, to build institutions. And honestly, I do not wish this on my best friends when I know these people. I know these people very intimately. First time I spoke here, the Rav Zatzal, Friday afternoon, he comes into where I was staying with the Rosenblums. He has a check he wants to give me, based on the Shita, which I'm sure the Shita knows exactly where it was from, that you should pay before I actually do it. I honestly have done dozens and dozens and dozens of Shabbaton around the world. It's never happened to me since, never happened to me before. This kind of behavior is kind of yashrus, and this was just the warm up. After that, because I am a people watcher, and I saw how he acted, it's very humbling to know that a man dumbens Nasikim, and he comes back to hear your drasha, and he sits over there, with his sickly, with his farm, all that he's going through. And I start to watch a person, and then slowly but surely, the stories start to come out. And again, I'm objective, I see this from afar, and I travel around the world. This is a Rav, a Shul Rav, Shul Pam. He did not belong to our era. Maybe it's why Kadosh Baruch Hu took him so young. He did not belong. I've never seen someone who is Meisa Nefesh, who is Balabatim, fearless. He does not care what people said. His engine was this meter of Yashrus and MS that brought him to every single place that he achieved. The Erev Yom Kippur, he got shyless about whether to fast or not, and he was a little bit more machmed than Nesi Roshem Zalman. He was very, a little bit machmed that people should fast. The moment Yom Kippur was over, he calls 15 to 20 phone calls. 15 to 20 phone calls to make sure that they fasted all right. This is not normal. This is just an example. I heard from a family member a few other examples, but I realized there's a suffix that maybe people over here know what he was referring to, and they're all a little bit, that he went out on an edge for people that had gone through crazy situations. I know this also from the side of the seminary world. If he believed something was MS, and he had this antennae for MS on a higher level than everyone else, then he would do what it needed to do, ara saif, to make sure that it got done. That is what we say, Ziknei Amcha Beis Yisrael, is together with the Tzaddikim and the Hasidim and the Seferim and the Gerat Tzedek, and these people who are bringing Mashiach by doing things that no one else has the capability of doing except for these people. Now I understand a little bit what it means for Aleinu. We look at ourselves. Why are we sitting here tonight? We're sitting tonight over here to give tribute to our hero. But it's not enough to give tribute like a hero. This is not an obituary at the back of a magazine. This is because we need to say, if we cannot be him, we can ask ourselves, what did he do that we could try and be part of? In other words, if you cannot be in this list, if you cannot be in the pantheon of the heroes that bring the Melech HaMashiach, you can at least say, these are my people and these are my inspirations. When we say the Simcha Keinu Mehem, when we say the words, the Saint Sachatov, give them schar. Obviously the schar in Shemaim is Ad HaSeif. Only the schar is without end for these people. But we want to be able to see the schar. We want to be able to see with our own eyes how these people are noticed and acknowledged, because we're living in a jar that has so many challenges and so many difficulties, and it's so hard to be a Ben Torah Yid here in Eretz Yisrael with everything we're going through. So we need to be able to see these heroes. The classic example is always Mordechai. You ever wondered, he did not want, I promise you, I mean, Hannah Nechumish, I never asked this to Mordechai HaYehudi, he did not want to go on a horse through the streets of Shishon. This is what's not missing in your life, right? You do not need to go on a horse through Dan Ruchab Dizengoff. It's not what's missing in your life. Well, you know what? First of all, for another reason, this is because I always picture Achashverosh the way they are in the coloring books. Achashverosh was, how do you say this nicely, a plus-size monarch. And Mordechai is always like, this is how you feel, Mordechai. He must have looked ridiculous wearing Achashverosh's clothes. Okay, that's one thing. But even without that, there's no way. Mordechai goes down the streets, of the main streets of Shushan. No wonder he wanted to run straight back to his sackcloth and ashes. But he goes, and as he's going down, all the Yidden watch him and say, that was the ultra-Orthodox Haredi fanatic. Everyone looked at him and said, Rabino Eloko. And now they look at him and see the cover that he gets. That is instant tshuva. That is instant wake-up call. That is exactly what we need to be doing now when we remember the ways of the Rav Zatzal. And what he did over here, what he instituted over here, what he unleashed chidushim again and again in what it means to be a Rav of the Beis Knesset that we have not seen in the four corners of the world, and how we ask ourselves to be mamshich, and if we can't be mamshich, to at least acknowledge and identify and say, this is what is my hero. This is what I look up to. This is what I want to be part of. And then you are the Aleinu in that list over there. So I want to ask now the Eivishter, Kodesh Baruch Hu, to have Rachman, Mol of Klal Yisrael, and that Mashiach, when he does come, Bimher B'Yameinu, will have to do a stopover over here to remember and to give tribute to the heroes that brought him. And a man like Rabbi Milinowitz Tzadik Zichron Livracha, who did so much to be Meisa Nefesh for his community and for Klal Yisrael and for everything that he saw all the time to be able to fix and make better. And we should be zeich from here, Bimeinu, to laugh together when we get to find Yerushalayim and the Esenach David Avdecha Meher Tetzmiach. We should zeich to be see it in here, Bimeinu. Thank you. And thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you everyone for coming. It's Neshama Shadam and Aliyah. It's always great to see them with his family. Thank you all for coming. The Rebbetzin. The books are available in the back of his medrash. I know I would like. Thank you.